My children have brown skin, but there was a day many years ago when my little children had really brown skin. They were covered with mud. In a moment of parental delusion, I suppose it was, we had said to our kids, sure, it's okay to go outside and play in the large mud puddle in our front yard. Now, you have to understand that we were living in rural Ethiopia, and our house sat down off the main road, and for 10 months a year, it doesn't rain, but then when it starts raining in Ethiopia, it really rains. And so it had been raining and raining, and the water had come down out of the skies and off from the mounds and settled all around our house so that our entire front yard, about the size of this auditorium here, this half of the auditorium, was full of water. And my kids thought it was a great idea to go play in the mud. And when they came to the back door, they had that look on their faces of, we want in. They were cold and wet and covered in mud from head to toe. There was mud on their clothes. There was mud in their ears. There was mud in their hair. There was mud everywhere. So despite their longings to want to get into the house, of course, Cindy and I said to them first, what you have got to do is take off those clothes. You cannot come in the house with those muddy clothes on. Of course, the problem was taking off the muddy clothes didn't solve the problem. They were still muddy. In fact, they still looked like mud and smelled like mud and felt like mud. The mud had become part of them. They were in need of some serious personal hygiene. I wonder if that's a picture that you and I share as people who recognize that we are muddy spiritually, stained and dirty, and wanting to get where God is, to enjoy His fellowship, to be accepted by Him, to be embraced by Him. And much as my children wanted to come in and curl up on the couch and enjoy a cup of warm chocolate, we, in our deepest beings, want to be able to get close to God and have a sense that we are accepted and that we belong with Him and that we enjoy His smile. We could say that we want to participate fully with Him and His program and His kingdom, but we recognize we're muddy. And for many of us, what that mud looks like is a set of clothes that has just gotten dirty. It's a set of external practices that really we just want to take off. But like my kids, what we realize is the problem is much deeper than just the external clothes that we wear. The problem is that the mud has become very much a part of who we are. We look like mud. We smell like mud. We feel like spiritual mud. And we need cleansing. How do we get clean enough to be accepted by God? How do we get so clean that God embraces us and gives us full rights to participate with Him and His kingdom? The answer is this. We do it not by focusing on externals, but on internals. Not by focusing on external piety, but on internal purity. And you say, yeah, that makes sense. I realize that, you know, the cleaning that we need is so much more than just the outside of us. It's certainly something inside of us. Of course, it's more important that we focus not just on external piety, but on internal purity. Sounds easy, but it's actually quite difficult. In fact, I'll suggest to you that everything inside of us wants to clean up the external and leave the internal. It's natural to measure our spiritual hygiene by the things that we do and the ways that we appear. We want to dress like a Jesus follower and smell like a Jesus follower and look like a Jesus follower and talk like a Jesus follower and walk like a Jesus follower. And then we think, well, just everything will be okay if we go to church the right amount and read our Bibles the right amount and pray the right amount and do the right kinds of things, then our clothes don't look so muddy. That's the easy solution. But what God desires for us is to focus not on external piety, but on internal purity. And that, my friends, is difficult. Why should we do that? This morning, our text is going to give us a couple of reasons why it's so important to focus on external, not to focus on external piety. It's going to tell us what happens when we do that and why it means that we cannot be acceptable to God. And then we'll see how it is when we actually focus on internal purity, and we'll take a challenge along that line as well. So, why should we not focus on external piety? Because focusing on external piety, first of all, can nullify the Word of God. Focusing on external piety can nullify, it can render invalid, it can actually break the Word of God. Huh? How does that happen? Matthew chapter 15. I want you to see how the Pharisees are exactly in this situation. And we're at verses 1 and 2. Notice the standard the Pharisees have. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Now, stop there for just a second. The Pharisees here are not primarily concerned about bringing out the antibacterial soap. This is not an honest question of concern about the germs and the bacteria that the disciples might have. This is an official delegation that's left Jerusalem, and they have come up to the Galilean region where Jesus is in order to make an accusation against Jesus and really through his disciples. And so essentially what they ask goes something like this. What's up with these guys? You think you're kingdom citizens, and you don't practice the proper ceremonial washings. And they're referring to a practice wherein the tradition was that before you ate, you must, in fact, make sure that your hands are ceremonially clean, and there were specifications about what kind of bucket to use, what kind of pot to use, what kind of water to use, what kind of motion to use, how far up on the hands and arms you had to go in order to be clean, so that if your hands were unclean, it didn't communicate it to the food and then communicate it to you. So it's an important, properly intended set of standards that the Pharisees had. So what's up with these disciples? They are impure, which means if they're impure, they're not going to be accepted by God. They can't fully participate in the kingdom. They can't approach God. Everybody in the Old Testament understood that. You had to be clean. So there's the problem. How would Jesus respond? You might think he'd say, "Well, hey, get the water. Yeah, this is a problem. Let's get the water and get them cleaned up." He didn't say that. You might think he would say, "Well, what a stupid law you made. That's not really all in the Bible. What a dumb law." He doesn't say that. Instead, what he tells them is that the tradition, the external focus, actually leads them to break God's law. It can nullify the very Word of God. And he says it, he gives them the conclusion first, and then he gives them another example of how it works. The conclusion is in verse 3. Jesus replies, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" Jesus is saying to them, you Pharisees, you're breaking the very command of God by your tradition. Washing the hands, yeah, that was commanded of the priests. That was in the Bible. Washing the hands was commanded of priests before they went to do special ceremonial occasions at the tabernacle or at the temple. But the Pharisees reasoned, if it's good for the priests, it's good for everybody. If it's good for your day at the temple, it's good for every day. If it's good for the day at the temple, it's good for you at home. So let's make a law that says we're going to have everyone wash their hands before they eat so they don't contaminate the food with an uncleanness that they would then take in and make themselves unclean. That ends up breaking the law. How could that be? Jesus is really shocking his audience. So instead of dealing with this law, he actually, and the implication is that the law is causing them to focus on externals rather than internals, he gives them an example. And in verses 3 through 6, he gives them an example of another kind of law that they have, so it's very clear for them. Verse 4, here's your example. "For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." There's the law, very clear. "But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." Jesus gives them an example where he shows them how their tradition, their focus on external things, can actually violate the word of God. And here's how it works. Now, most of us think of honor your father and mother as what we tell our kids when they're little, right? Honor your father and mother means, you know, do what they say and obey them. That's true. But the Old Testament concept is much bigger than that. It's to extend through all of life. So honor your father and mother included the idea that as they grew old, you took care of them. So as your parents grew older and were not able to work and provide for themselves, it was the responsibility of the children to honor their parents by caring for them, which really meant give them your money, give them food, give them a place to live. So what the Pharisees did was they had a law that went like this. I've got this money, and I'm going to devote it to God. I've got this farm. I'm going to devote it to God. I have this possession. I'll devote it to God. And if I devote it to God, then I can't give it to my parents. Of course, I'll save it till later when I actually give it to God. So right now, I can use it for a while. I'll give it to God later. And Jesus says, what you have just done is you've kept this vow you've made as if it's a wonderful, holy thing. And externally, everybody says, wow, they must be really clean folks. And in the process, you're violating the very word of God to honor your parents. You nullify the law by following your traditions. And what's the result? The result is given for us in the following few verses, chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. The result is rejection. "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus is essentially saying to them, you are not acceptable for worship when your traditions actually cause you to disobey the word of God. You can't participate fully in the kingdom when you live like that. Notice how he says it. He calls them, first of all, what's it say there in verse 7? You hypocrites. You talk about obedience, but in reality, you're disobedient. And then what he then notice what he says about that. He gives a quotation from Isaiah chapter 29 about people who are honoring with their lips and yet their hearts are far from me. This is a situation in Isaiah 29 where the prophet is saying, here are the kinds of people who won't participate in the kingdom. They won't be accepted. It's actually a passage of judgment from the Old Testament. Jesus, by quoting this, is saying Isaiah was talking about you, Pharisees, when you break the law by following your traditions. You are on the path to being rejected. You're not acceptable for worship. What Jesus wants from us is that we focus not on external piety, because when we do, we can nullify the very word of God. Do we do that? Is that even possible in the way we live? I think so. Let's say, for example, that we want to be good stewards of our money. That's an admirable biblical goal, right? We want to be a good steward. And so we make a law for ourselves, a law that says I'm going to save a certain amount, save for the future. That can be a really good thing. But it can also be the very thing that feeds a selfish spirit and causes us not to be generous and causes us to focus on ourselves. And we can nullify the word of God for the sake of a tradition that we establish. And we're not acceptable. How about our desire to learn Scripture? We want to learn Scripture. We know it's important to hide the word in our heart. That's a great thing. So we make a law for ourselves. I don't think we'd ever make one in our church, but sometimes we might get this sense that you have to have, I'm going to be in trouble here, a quiet time every day of a certain length of time at a certain point of the day. Got to have a daily Bible reading or else. That could be a really good thing. Could be a really good thing to have a daily time set aside. But along the way, it's also possible that our devotional time slot could be just the thing that we use to steal time away from an employer or a spouse or kids or others who need us. Don't have time for you just now. I gotta read my Bible. And under a guise of a tradition that we establish, maybe for good reason, we end up nullifying the very word of God that we want to honor. And Jesus says those externals are unacceptable. It could be that we want to be people who show grace. That's a wonderful thing. And so we make a rule, an external standard that says, I'm not going to say things that make people feel bad. I really want to be careful with my words. That's a good thing. I don't want to ever say things that are going to make people feel bad. It's a Christian political correctness thing. But then, in our desire to want to build them up and never offend, we can find ourselves in a situation where a Christian friend who needs our advice, it's a guy who's living with his girlfriend, and he needs someone to say, what you're doing is not right. But I live by grace. I can't say that. Or we find ourselves in a situation where a friend comes in with pornography, and we just kind of overlook it because it's not my business. I'm a man of grace. We overlook it. And in our desire to uphold a tradition, a standard that we've set for ourselves that may have been set for the most wonderful good reasons, we end up nullifying the word of God. And Jesus says, that's hypocrisy. It puts us on a path where we're standing at the back door of the kingdom with our muddy clothes on, unacceptable for entrance. How do you know you're acceptable for the kingdom? Not by focusing on external piety, but on internal purity. The first reason is because our focus on external piety can actually lead us to break the word of God. There's a second reason here in this text. And the second reason is in these following verses is that external piety doesn't really treat the moral problem. External piety does not treat the real internal pollution going on in front of us. Notice how Jesus says this in verses 10 through 17. Back in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." So here's the statement, right at the very, just once again, the conclusion comes out loud and clear. The issue is not what you put in. What you put in does not pollute you. It has no moral effect. There's no real moral impurity. So he's saying to the disciples that if you eat with unwashed hands and you communicate ceremonial impurity to the food you're eating, it does not give you moral contamination. It does not give you moral impurity. And if you live in that day, you're saying, ay, 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 this can't be right. I mean, the Pharisees are going to go ballistic when they hear this because their entire system is built on a standard of external purity, that things have to look clean all the time, morally clean. And now Jesus says, all that out there is not what causes moral pollution or contamination. So, how will the Pharisees respond? Notice how Matthew records it in verses 12 through 14. Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" I bet they were. He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Jesus is stating to his disciples that when you focus on external impurities, it brings destruction, not acceptance. Notice the words that he uses there. He talks about uprooting. It's a common figure in the Old Testament for the nation that will be planted is one planted by God and it cannot be uprooted. And the kingdom of God will flourish. And that which God doesn't plant, those are the trees that are just going to be uprooted and torn away and destroyed. And Jesus says, these Pharisees, they're like blind guides. They are like trees that are going to be uprooted. They will not last in the kingdom. They are like people who will fall in a pit. And if you follow them in their observation of external traditions and external purity laws, you will fall in a pit with them. Jesus is quite serious that it does no good to try to cleanse moral pollution by focusing on external piety. So the question then becomes, how can that be true? Why is that the case? Verses 15 through 17. Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out the body?" Simple statement. Simple little metaphor. but it's so powerful. Jesus is saying that in the world of food, what happens? You eat it. It actually doesn't become part of you. Your body extracts what it needs, and then it goes out into the sewer, literally. That's the way it is with external impurities. They do not become part of your moral fabric. They do not establish moral guilt. Now, listen to me carefully. Jesus is not saying it's good, therefore, to hang around a lot of unclean stuff. Right? He's not saying it's really wise for you to go out there and spend a lot of time in the mud. He's not saying have disregard for external piety. What he's saying is that if you think external piety is going to impact your moral purity, you're badly mistaken. Because that's not where you get polluted. May I suggest that we struggle with this? For example, some of us perhaps set standards, good standards, for the kind of movies or TVs that we won't watch. Good. Could be a great law. But understand that the movie is not the problem. It's something external to us. The movie doesn't cause moral pollution, and we don't stop moral pollution by turning it off, though it might be very wise to do so. Some of us have created good, wise standards about, say, consuming alcohol or tobacco. It's good. But don't do so with the idea that, therefore, by having that standard, you've blocked moral purity from your body. Moral impurity, I'm sorry. Because that's not where moral impurity comes from. It comes from somewhere else. How do you be acceptable to God? Not by focusing on external piety, but on internal purity. And Jesus makes it very clear right here. Verses 18 through 20. But the things that he's just said, let's go back to verse 17. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these things from inside make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Jesus calls his disciples and us as well to focus on internal purity. Again, hear me carefully. I'm not saying that there is no importance to attention properly put on the external things to us. But we do ourselves a great misunderstanding and disservice if we think that only by focusing on the external actions and pollution around us that we thereby protect ourselves from moral impurity. Jesus says, I'll tell you where the real problem is. It's your heart. It's your heart. And so it would only be appropriate for us to focus for a moment or two on our internal purity. I was reflecting on my week. I have some standards that I set for physical exercise. And I was kind of proud of myself. I did what I set out to do this week. I exercised regularly, and I ate well, I kept my external standards. But when I check my heart, I realize I have inside of me a growing fear about getting old and losing capacity. And I struggle to trust God. This week, I was proud of myself because I got offended. And when I got offended, instead of responding in anger with really nasty words, I turned around and walked away. My external behavior was really admirable. But I know in my heart, I hated that person. And if I could have gotten away with it, the problem wasn't my behavior. It's my heart. This week, I was really glad that I did not chase after a woman that was not my wife. And in the public eye, I've been faultless. But my heart, if I really check my heart, I must admit that it likes to wander. Moral impurity is inside. Pollution, inside. It's not out there. May I invite you to check your heart? Some of you, perhaps, have never had a sense that your heart's been clean. You never met Jesus, and he is the one who, because of his death and resurrection, paid to have our hearts cleansed. And for you, it is on this day, perhaps, that God would open your heart to say, yes, I am one muddy, dirty individual who needs his cleansing. And so for you today, I would invite you to check your heart and believe in his work of cleansing. And for the rest of us, we've been walking with Jesus, but perhaps we have followed him and put on an external display that really is not what God desires. I'm going to give us a moment of just silence and invite you to quietly, by yourself, examine your heart. And pray that God would give you insight to stop focusing on the external piety and on the internal purity. Let's pray, and I'll close in a moment. And so, our Father, we confess that we are contaminated from within, polluted internally, covered with mud, and our desire is just to kind of wash it off. We just want to look better so we can come in. Father, I pray for my friends in this room that for them and for me as well, you would convict us at the core of our hearts. Purify us, we pray. May we not settle for external piety, for you do not settle for external piety. And Lord, one day we know one day that we will be welcomed by you with arms open wide to fully participate in your kingdom with all the mud cleansed out. Thank you, our Father. For Jesus' sake, amen.